Today, we are critiquing a really comprehensive guide on sheet metal cold formability, looking at how physical properties and shop floor variables dictate minimum bend radii. And I think we should dive right into the structural flow, because the sequence of information here completely changes how this advice is absorbed.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, I mean, the absolute biggest weakness is that this guide buries its most vital practical instruction right at the very end of the document.
Right. By placing that whole test before you commit section after pages of exhaustive theoretical charts, the material risks losing the reader way before they reach the most actionable advice.
Right.
It turns what could be, you know, an indispensable shop floor survival guide into just another standard textbook reference.
Exactly. So the suggestion for improvement here is to invert the narrative arc completely. The author should frame the entire guide around the absolute necessity of empirical testing.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and position all that theoretical data merely as a baseline that the machine operator is expected to challenge.
So how do they actually do that in the text?
Well, a really concrete example would be to introduce the K-factor coupon test procedure right in the introduction, like as the core thesis of the document.
Okay, yeah.
And then, when presenting the bend radius chart later on, immediately pair it with those coupon test steps to show exactly how to verify those numbers right there on the floor.
I mean, I can see what you're going for here, but let's be real about the audience for a second. A lot of operators might just want to grab quick chart numbers and get right back to the press break.
Sure.
So if we force them through a testing methodology first, aren't we just frustrating the skim reader?
Well, we actually want to disrupt that lazy habit. Hitting them with the test first prevents the reader from blindly trusting a chart and, you know, accidentally ruining a highly expensive batch of 6061 T6.
Ah, that makes sense.
Right, it forces them to stop treating the theoretical numbers as absolute gospel.
And I think that exact tension, trusting absolute theory over physical reality, that leads us to a major issue with how the document handles its own data authority.
Yes, specifically regarding the persistent use of those bracketed verify tags scattered throughout the bend radius charts.
The weakness here is that constant reminders of external disagreement, especially when we're looking at 6061 T6 and 304 stainless, they just leave the reader without any concrete direction.
Yeah, it really does.
It totally undermines the author's deep expertise. And honestly, it reads more like a legal disclaimer than expert guidance.
So to improve this, the suggestion is that the author should transform this ambiguity into a definitive teaching moment about material variability.
Right.
They need to own the discrepancy as a built-in feature of sheet metal, rather than a flaw in their own research.
So a specific concrete way to execute that would be to remove those passive verify tags entirely?
Yes, exactly.
And replace them with an active expected variance range column in the chart itself.
Right. And instead of simply stating that industry sources disagree on stainless steel, they should write a brief section defining the mechanics of why.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like, for instance, explain how releasing the tonnage causes the metal's grain structure to relax, you know, which is known as spring back.
Right.
So a theoretical 90-degree bend on one specific batch of 304 stainless might open up to 92 degrees on another simply due to minor variations in lot properties or die openings, and that completely shifts the required radius.
I might push back just a little bit here, though. Admitting that industry sources disagree is actually a refreshing display of honesty, isn't it?
I mean, sure.
Because it shows the reader that the author isn't just making things up or pretending the shop floor is perfectly predictable.
Well, it is honest, but there's a distinct difference between being a reporter and being an authority.
Okay, fair point.
To be an authority, you have to synthesize why that disagreement exists. By explaining those underlying mechanisms, like how grain structure variations impact springback, the writer elevates themselves from someone just listing conflicting facts to a true expert. They're guiding the reader through the chaos of material science.
That makes perfect sense. Well, to recap, this critique really focused on elevating the material from a theoretical reference manual to an authoritative shop floor guide.
Right.
The key actionable steps are to move that empirical coupon testing to the very forefront of the narrative, and to replace those passive verified disclaimers with an active exploration of material variance.
Yep, and the physics behind it.
Exactly. we invite the author to implement these changes and submit the revised piece back to us for another critique.